Welcome back to Season 1, Episode 3 of Vets and Visionaries with yours truly, Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots USA. And speaking of this organization that has allowed me to use my loud mouth to enforce liberty, I want to remind you of the important petition that you can find at wethepatriotsusa.org. Right there on the homepage, you will see a petition that's not just your any old petition where your name and information is taken and you never see anything that has come from it. Now, it does subscribe you to our newsletter, and if you don't want to be a part of the newsletter, you can unsubscribe. But your signature is important because although our goal is 100,000 people, we need millions because we want to let DC know, because we will be delivering this petition to Washington, DC to claim that our health status needs to be a protected class. Whether you do not want to have to be forced for mandatory testing, masking, or an injection of any type of medical experiment or medication, our individual choices for our health are something that should not cause any form of discrimination or labeling as being an extremist. So I want to thank you so much for joining my show today, and I'm looking forward to introducing you to my next guest. Where do we find a sense of normalcy? The purposeful divide widens as individual liberties are lost. While we feel the lack of unity, solutions exist. Through an open dialogue and constitutional conversations, hear from those who have upheld their oaths and join me in exploring innovative and inspired change through a clearer lens. This is Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization striving to sustain and restore our God-given and constitutional rights. Well, like I said, I have an amazing guest today. And as you know, I interview vets and visionaries. And my next guest is quite the visionary. Kimberly Overton, who is a critical care nurse from Tennessee. In 2021, she founded the Nurse Freedom Network. And as we know, we saw a lot of abandoned proper protocols. We saw a lot of medical tyranny. So she did this to allow other people to stand up against this medical tyranny. And she has a true passion for providing patient-centered care. Remember, as a veteran, I know what it's like in the VA to feel like a number. So she really wanted to look at the whole person concept and abandon the whole sick care system. So while she is a critical care nurse, she's an advocate for truth and health freedom and individual choices. And in 2022, this is what I'm excited to learn about, she founded the Remnant Concierge Nursing Services, which is a private membership. So I am so excited to go ahead and bring in my next guest, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, Kristen. I appreciate it.
Well, I first want to say that it's great to meet you because we have several mutual friends, and one of our mutual friends, Nurse Jody O'Malley, the Project Veritas whistleblower, said that you are the perfect person to talk to you about this great initiative, because one of the issues that I have dealt with in kind of making the rounds the past 3 years is we hear about all the problems, and I love to hear solutions. So I'd love to hear your vision and what you are doing with this new initiative.
Absolutely. So when I started Nurse Freedom Network back in July of 2021, you know, I started that to, of course, just to stand up against the medical tyranny that we're facing. But beyond that advocacy, I really wanted to create opportunities for nurses to be able to break away from this broken and oppressive. It is a sick care system. We all know it does nothing to keep anybody well. Mm-hmm. And we needed something different. You know, these problems in the nursing industry, they predate COVID. I mean, we have been facing staffing shortages and all kinds of issues in the healthcare industry for decades.
Well, can I ask you why that is? Because I've heard that. And why is that, do you believe?
I think a lot of it has to do with burnout. I mean, we're certainly not compensated well. We are constantly asked to do more with less. We don't have any safe patient ratios. You know, there's no limit in many states to how many patients they can pile on a nurse. I mean, I've had they tried to give me as many as 8 to one nurse, not in the critical care unit. That's if I had floated to a med surg floor, we would get as many as like 8, and there's no limit. They can continue to pile these patients onto you, and it's not safe. It's not safe for the nurse. It's not safe for the patient. But these things have been going on for a long time, and you know, we can go and have all of the strikes and the protests that we want at these hospitals, but I'm not begging for change that's not coming. I'm tired of doing that. So my vision is we need to walk away. We need to walk away from this system that has failed all of us. It does not serve us. It does not serve our patients. We need to let it burn to the ground. quite frankly, that's what needs to happen. We've been putting out the flames for too long as nurses, and we need to stop. Take our skills, our passion. We need to walk away.
I just want to say, when you're saying that, mm-hmm. I always use metaphors. It's the equivalent, you know, when you have like friends, or maybe you've gone through it, you've been in a relationship with somebody, and you try to get them to change. Even maybe when you first started with them, it wasn't toxic. And after a while, you just realize you have to break ties and just go look for a different relationship. And that sounds like what you're doing.
It's exactly that. It is exactly that. And there's a lot of gaslighting. It's a story that this system gaslights its nurses. The nurses are the scapegoat for everything. And it's a system that is designed and to set up the perfect storm for patient error. The third leading cause of death in the United States is preventable medical error. Your nurses are typically standing in the gap and protecting you from a faulty physician order that could potentially kill you. That happens quite often. But what happens when you get rid of all of your nurses who are not afraid to question a physician order, or not afraid to say, I'm not going to follow that order?
I'm sure you're ostracized. And it's funny because I know what it's like in my profession. You know, you're lifted up and you're praised and you get all these accolades, but the second you don't shut up in color because you realize that the path is going on to something it shouldn't, all of a sudden you're demonized. And I think more people need to realize that, because I have seen nurses and even doctors, one minute, you know, they're being part of a study or something great that they've done, and then, you know, they go against the narrative and the propaganda, and then you're a threat to society. And that is so criminal in my eyes.
Absolutely. I've been called a threat to public health. I'm surprised they haven't come for my license yet. I continue to like post in I put my nursing license right there. I'm like, here, come get it. Come get it. Because you're going to have to come armed with a pretty damn good argument for wanting to take my license for adhering to literally the guiding principles of ethical nursing, bodily autonomy, informed consent. That's all I'm doing.
And that's really scary because, like I said, I'm a veteran, so I usually go at the VA, but I always ask for community care. I don't trust the VA. I don't care if they hear that. I used to work at a VA. There's a reason I don't like going there.
Right, exactly.
But I see too often, I mean, it's really hard it's to a point now when I go to a medical facility and they're still asking us to cover our faces and all these insane protocols that don't work. I don't even trust that healthcare worker because I feel like they wouldn't stand up for me, and they're too worried about just complying, and they're worried, but they don't realize that the do no harm. And then it's hard in the moment, but down the line, you're more respected and start your own practice, do your own thing. It's hard at first, but it's integrity and it's abandoned and it's infuriating. And I'm sure that you feel that more than most.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you're saying, if these nurses are not able to advocate for themselves, trust me, they're not going to advocate for you. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep in mind. But it's scary, right? But when I walked away, you know, I left bedside nursing. I became uncomfortable with the protocols, the remdesivir that was literally killing patients. They tried to tell us it's COVID. It's not COVID. It's the complete and total medical mismanagement of COVID that's killing them. And it's these deadly hospital protocols and denying these patients life-saving medications. That's why I walked away from bedside nursing. And I started trying to work from home doing telephone triage. I thought that would be a good alternative. But then they want me to recommend this experimental mRNA jab to children, to babies. But not only that, they want me to call it safe and effective.
They have no informed consent. That's what always has bothered me. Mm-hmm. As someone who's, I'm not anti-vaxxer, I'm an ex-vaxxer. And I just know the studies of when the immune system develops and we start doing this at birth. And it's the lack of informed consent. No one is really getting informed consent. You know, you're not getting the pamphlet. You're not getting the VAERS data. You're not getting the yellow card data. You're just getting a sheet of paper.
Exactly. And how can we as healthcare professionals provide informed consent, true informed consent, if we ourselves are not truly informed and nurses do not get any education on vaccines? A lot of people may be surprised to hear that, but we don't get, I mean, virtually no education.
I highly respect you for saying that because, I mean, I work in preventive health. I am a scientist and I try to protect people and keep them from needing treatment, but we're all part of a puzzle of total, you know, health. And one thing that I have conveyed, because I have talked to many doctors who said same thing.
Yeah,
they don't taught about the schedule and how to, you know, report the benefits, and they are just not given. It's no different than like women who go and they get, you know, Botox or fillers. They tell you the risks and they ask you, do you have this? Do you have a clotting issue? Do you have this problem? It's because they're more held liable for issues. But it's so when we remove the liability from the vaccine manufacturers, that's to me when all of the ability to have informed consent and accountability just went out the window.
Exactly. And I mean, that's all we were ever taught, nurses, doctors as well, safe, effective, and necessary, period. And that's the beyond that narrative, we don't learn anything else about them. We always implicitly trusted that, you know, those who were in the position of checking the safety and efficacy of these vaccines were doing their due diligence. But clearly, that is not the case. And, you know, my eyes have been peeled wide open. I didn't come in anti-vax, but I'm leaving that way.
Yeah. And like I said, I like to say ex-vax because actually I wasn't even vaccinated when I went into the military just because there was only a couple and my mom was like, meh. But I got them all at once in the military. And then I'm vaccine injured from the HPV round one. And my husband's vaccine injured from the anthrax vaccine on active duty. We're two people living in the same house. So this is not like a minority. It just goes so underreported. But, you know,
yeah, that's what all vaccine injured. We just don't realize it. We're all, it's on some level, whatever chronic condition we have, autoimmune condition, I think we're all vaccine injured on some level. We've just never connected the dots on that.
And, you know, I just want to say before I ask you to elaborate on your new initiative is that, you know, it reminds me of elementary school when they push the food pyramid and in like a hierarchy and like, you know, eat this, eat that. And we always have in our jobs, we learn like chain of command. But when it comes to healthcare, it's like, it's an instant thing. Get this surgery, get this injection, get this medication. No one's saying, hey, eat a cleaner diet. Let's do a full blood panel. Let's find out what's your LDL, like root cause. Now it's like there has to be a whole new profession of functional medicine just to get care that's not tied to big pharma. And then those are called the quacks. Exactly. But I wanted to ask you, about this initiative, my understanding is that this is a way for people to get care outside of the mainstream healthcare system.
Because, you know, over the last 2 years, the public has become more and more distrustful of the system, and rightly so. I don't trust it. I fired every single one of my doctors. So people reach out to me all the time, and they are like, how can I find care? How can I find people who aren't going to push the job, who are going to respect my autonomy and my informed consent? And, you know, like I said, all I wanted to do was create opportunities for these nurses. So we decided to go under and form the Private Membership Association. So that guarantees our constitutionally guaranteed right to a private association. So the government, state, local, federal has no jurisdiction over the care that we provide to our patients. It's cash only. We can't except insurance, of course, because that's even a baby toe in the system is too far. But so we want to partner with functional medicine providers. We partner with nurse practitioners and nurses who respect all of these tenets of medical freedom, autonomy, informed consent. And also so many of us, myself included, very allopathically trained. I came out of this not trusting any of my knowledge. I'm like, well, what else have they lied to me about? So I realized really quickly that I had to become trained in functional medicine and find a more holistic way, a holistic perspective to care for my patients, because what I was seeing even pre-COVID in the ICU, it's the most depressing thing, because 85 to 90% of what we see come through those doors are completely preventable with lifestyle modifications. Yeah. And we ourselves as nurses are not known to be the healthiest population either. So I really want to create this environment for all of us to be able to thrive. We can't provide care in any type of meaningful way if we're not even caring for ourselves. So I think this is a great opportunity for so many nurses to be able to walk away. So what it is it's going to be providing concierge nursing services. We're rolling out initially as telehealth as we start to build the network. To become a member for a patient, it's $15 a month. That is to become a member to access our services. Those services and fees are an additional cost, but we have package pricing available. You can get individual sessions. You get nurses who are going to work with you to get you to your highest and healthiest potential, because we need to get to the root cause of what's going on. We don't need to just continue to throw the prescription pad at you. We need to find out what's wrong and eradicate it. Root cause, eradicate it. Because all we're doing is putting Band-Aids on things, and it's you know, one prescription that leads to another chronic illness. And, you know, they don't create health, they create customers, big pharma. There's a better way, and we are all going to find it together. So I encourage all of these nurses to, you know, come step away, because there's no way that we can continue in this toxic system. We can't do it anymore. It doesn't serve any of us, and it doesn't, the moral injury is real. It's real. What these nurses are going through, what I still can't even get the patients' faces out of my head from when I worked in the ICU and realized that they didn't need to die, that I know that there's safe and effective treatment available, but they're denying it. I mean, it's a lot for us to have gone through, but I think that we can start to make things right. We can start to make things right and start truly caring for these patients.
Yeah, it's almost like having casualties of war. And when I'm hearing you say this, I'm visualizing like this is the brush fire, because eventually look at Dr. Pete McCullough, one of the most highly cited cardiologists in the world, is now an extremist and shouldn't be taught. You know, people have no idea how many publications he's had, what he's done. And I am so proud of him for not being afraid. And these people like him get attacked, get threatened to lose their license. I think we're going to start to see over time, this is the catalyst. And what you're doing is amazing, because it's showing that people get scared though when they hear like, oh, my insurance won't cover it. I've done these things myself. And if you just realize, kind of analyze your spending on what we waste our money on, and then maybe a lot of those behaviors are hurting our health, like eating out all the time.
Yeah.
You start to realize, and you really start to invest in your body and your health, and you go, I only get one body, and let's take care of it. And this is a change I see. That brush fire is what I'm referring to, is that other people are going to connect and want to join these type of initiatives. That's why I view you as an amazing visionary, because you're going to get good people with ethics and morals. And then these healthcare systems are going to have like the degenerate,
exactly.
You know, the people that have had lots of malpractice claims, you know, they're going to have the bottom of the barrel. And I'm not bashing everyone in healthcare that stays, because I get it. I'm a whistleblower. I know the fear that you go through. Oh, I got to feed my kids. I got to do that.
Yeah.
But how long can you live with yourself? And what if that's your child?
Exactly. So you know what? That's what I said. Listen, I had bills to pay. I had a mortgage. I had all of the things, right? I was not in, I did not have the financial provisions to do what I did. I'm just a nurse. But to me, it was, what was the alternative? I could not sleep at night. I was never going to encourage these parents to vaccinate their children. I can't tell you how horrified I am that I vaccinated children in the past, not knowing. I live with that every day. Did I injure a child? I don't know. And I think that's why I really want to focus now. We specialize in the consultation and care of the vaccine injured. And it's almost an act of penance for me at this point, because, you know, when we know better, we are called upon to do better. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And I just want to remind you that don't beat yourself down, because it's not what you've done, it's what you've done about it. And we all, quote, as people say, get red pilled, like the Matrix. We all have our moment where we're like, whoa, I can't now go back to how I was. I know too much. And when you realize that a lot of the healthcare curriculum in colleges and schools are written by the pharmaceutical industry, and you understand that history, that's a conflict of interest. And when we have big pharma as almost a fourth branch of government, I think more people are seeing that. So I'm very proud of what you're doing, and I'm so excited. You know, I'll probably sign up, even though I have free forms of insurance. It's not doing me well. And plus they always bill me out of order. So that's fun.
I always like to tell people, you know, like, it's like, I probably don't need your services right now. I'm like, even if you don't need our services, listen, for $15 a month, 50 cents a day, you can support this really important ministry. This work that we're doing is so important. And for that low price, you can support us. And if and when you need us, we are right there for you.
And I just want to add, too many people say, well, where are all these people standing up? Why won't these doctors and nurses speak out? They need to realize they are, but they also lost their income and their health insurance. So don't complain about wanting something new, but not willing to help fund it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, we're here and we're ready to make a difference, and we know that we can, we know that we will. You know, that system may not burn to the ground, but you know what, we're going to make ourselves so relevant that they are going to have to, we're going to be holding them accountable. They're going to have to do better. They have to raise their standards, or they won't be relevant any longer.
Well, where can people find out about this membership? How can people sign up with the $15 a month? How can they do that?
Sure. So you can go to remnantnursing.org and you can sign up there. So we want nurses to go on there as well and sign up. If you want access to, we're actually onboarding about 20 practitioners for phase one. I'm currently doing interviews, so we are still accepting resumes. So if you're interested, please do go that. You have to be a $30 a month member or higher. That's a basic membership in order to access those opportunities for nurses. But for just patient access is $15 a month. And again, we have several different opportunities on there. And we welcome you to come. And if there's any questions, always feel free to reach out. It's remnantnursing@nursefreedomnetwork.org.
And I will link that in the video right below so you guys can copy and paste that into your browser and begin to be an advocate for yourself. This is such a breath of fresh air because, like I said, a lot of people are just mentally worn down. And, you know, there's people who say they never care about this or that. And I always say, no one cares until it directly affects them. Well, what we saw over the past 3 years affected every single person on the planet. So gone are the days of not paying attention, because before you realize it, what people were forced to do, I say forced to do because I don't think anyone can be forced to do anything. You say, I will not comply.
Exactly.
And even like me, even though I have medical reasoning to not don a mask or respirator, I didn't fly. I did not comply. I didn't go to the things I normally go to because of the things they were requiring. I'll never forget when I was going to my favorite vegetarian restaurant, and I'm not kidding you, it was probably 15 feet away. The hostess wouldn't let me walk 15 feet to the booth she was going to seat me. When I sat down anyway, I would have been able to remove the facial barrier. This is nuts. Thinking, it's just, it's ridiculous. And then recently, I know a whole study just came out saying that they're pointless, but I don't want to make this about masks, but that's just a huge catalyst in how people were forced into believing things that have historical data saying are not the answer.
And so people who should know better.
Yes. And we have such a distrust now in the media and the healthcare system. And that's what scares me. And I wanted to ask you, do you see a lot of people going unseen for different issues? I've talked to people who haven't been to their dentist in 3 years because they just refuse to deal with the masking when they're going to be in their mouth anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you see, or have you seen anyone have a health issue, an adverse issue due to not recurring physicals or regular care that they got that they abandoned due to not wanting to deal with these protocols?
Absolutely. I mean, even when I was still in the ICU, our beds were filled, and it wasn't with COVID during the height of the pandemic. It was with people who were too afraid to come to the hospital. But what do we expect when the media has people afraid to breathe air? That's what they did to people. And then people wouldn't come in if they're okay. And that's just going back to the beginning of the pandemic when they were just afraid to go out and be in public around people. But now people are so distrustful of this medical system that I know even for myself, when I had COVID, I ended up finally getting COVID this past August, even despite caring for patients directly in the ICU that for almost 3 years it took for me to finally get it without wearing a mask, by the way, out in public. It's insane to me because I myself would not, I would just like lay up in my hotel room and I would have died before I went to the hospital because they would have killed me. That's how I feel about it. And I've seen that happen over and over again. I have, you know, met so many people on this journey who have lost loved ones due to these deadly hospital protocols. And and I struggle with this because when people are having a true medical emergency, I mean, the last thing I want to do is send them to the hospital, but at the same time, you know that if they don't go, they are likely not going to survive. So I've had to tell somebody recently, listen, your blood pressure is like 250 over 150. You've got to go. You've got to go. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't think it was, you know, urgent. So that is something we really need to work on because beyond what we're doing, we need to have options to go, and we are having medical emergencies like this because so many people would literally rather just stay at home and they will likely not survive because of their fear.
And where were the patient advocates in all this? That's a huge conundrum I have.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the voice for the voiceless. They're the liaison. Where were they?
Exactly. And that's what really bothered me, because as nurses, I feel like if we stood up really early on, the moment that they told us our patients could not have an advocate at their bedside, we could have stopped this. We mm-hmm. could have stopped this as nurses. We should have done more. I'm sorry that we didn't. And I hope that nurses will start to rise up in great numbers, because if you are, you know, any nurse worth their salt knows what's going on is complete. I'm not going to swear. I'm not going to let it fly out, but you know,
it's human.
You know, you know, this is not right. You have to,
you
know,
can say it's bullshit. No,
no, exactly. I won't let her say it. But it's so true. It's so true. If we don't know that by now, I don't know what is more frightening, that these nurses and doctors are complicit in their silence, or that they don't know any better. Which is more frightening to me?
Well, I'm not sure what you know about We the Patriots USA, but one of the founders, Brian Festa, he's a civil rights attorney. His son was severely vaccine injured by a flu shot. So the whole point of We the Patriots USA is to bring awareness to constitutional rights being violated. It's not just health. It could be Second Amendment. Anything that involves constitutional rights being violated, they cover. But if you happen to find individuals who have had massive discrimination or their rights have been violated in the health freedom world, you know, send them over, because what they do is they help raise money and help fund litigation and find representation by ethical and constitutional attorneys around the country to let these giant corporations in these hospital systems know you're going to be in the news. This isn't happening again. Whether it's, we've had people come to us that were denied transplants because they didn't have the experimental jab. And it put pressure on these systems to where litigation didn't even have to further, because they're like, okay. They don't like the bad press. And especially when it involves children. You know, I think about all of these marketing that the healthcare system does. Think about what they did, you know, protect the baby, protect grandma. But those are the same people they are allowing to die because they don't want to put themselves at risk, because it's not just, regardless of the safety and effectiveness or lack thereof, it's still a choice. And when you look at an infection fatality rate, we're not talking about Ebola. And that's what people outside the science community don't understand.
Exactly.
We're not talking about something that's going to wipe out half of our population. We'd be having a different discussion about what we should all do for humanity. But we're not there.
Yeah. Risk mitigation is the way that it should have gone from the very beginning. That's how I knew it was just absolute insanity from the beginning. But we, you know, they're wanting us to recommend the vaccination of children, experimental vaccination of children against the virus, is a 99.9815% survival rate among children. And they are at negligible risk. And the vaccine does not prevent transmission. Exactly. What are we doing? That was my hard line.
Here comes the censorship now. We're not censored here at We the Patriots USA. This has been a breath of fresh air. I love meeting individuals who aren't just part of the problem, and they recognize maybe they could have stood up earlier, but that doesn't matter. You know, you did something back in 2021 and you've been standing up ever since. And like I said at the beginning of this, you and I are about to meet in person. So did you want to speak up to the event we're going to both be at?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am heading out to Arizona. Very excited to support our mutual friend and, you know, my sister nurse, absolute warrior in this fight, HHS whistleblower, Nurse Jodi O'Malley. So excited. She is launching her book, Rare Courage, and so excited to be heading out there. I think the night before her book launch, we are going to be doing a meet and greet, an exclusive meet and greet. And we're going to have nurses and we're going to have other whistleblowers. Yourself is going to be, there's a couple of other people that are going to be there that have really been
my colleague, Tammy Clark. Yep.
Yes. Tammy Clark is going to be there. So excited about that, to really get together with so many nurses and just people who have had the courage to stand up and speak out. It'll be great. So we've got, you can get the tickets to that at remnantnursing.org as well. So you can visit there, go to upcoming events, and you can purchase tickets there. There is a VIP and a general admission, and it's limited to only 50 people. So we're excited to connect with so many nurses down there in Arizona.
Well, that's great. And I'm so looking forward to it. The one thing I constantly say about this madness over the past 3 years is, I'm sure you've experienced this, losing family and friends who now look at you like you're crazy and, you know, you're selfish and harming people. we have made so many changes in our lives, but there's been positive aspects of making new friends who aren't going to say, don't talk about this, don't talk about that. Well, those things are affecting me every day of my life, and I need to be able to talk to you about it. So we've made new friends, new connections, and like you've just done, we've created new initiatives to allow people to take control of their healthcare. You do not have to be under the thumb of government or insurance. You have a free market solution, and that is linked below. So Kimberly, thank you so much for volunteering your time, and I'm looking forward to see you. And thank you everyone for tuning in to season 1, episode 3 of Vets and Visionaries. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kristen.